Today I'd like to focus on the first reading, the beginning of the letter of James, the epistle of St. James. Now, we'll be reading this for the next couple weeks until Ash Wednesday begins, so it'd be good to take a look at the letter of James, and so you'll see some common themes in that letter. As you know, Martin Luther was an avowed enemy of this letter. He called it an epistle of straw, and that's why we love it and cherish it so much, right? Now, what's interesting about the epistle of James, again, we have the first 12 verses today. He calls himself James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are five different James in the New Testament. You have James, the son of Zebedee, you know, the brother of John, called James the Greater. Then we have James, son of Alphaeus, who was an apostle called James the Lesser. Then you have James, who's called the Lord's brother, or obviously cousin, relative. Then you have James, the bishop of Jerusalem, and James, to whom Jesus appeared after the resurrection. Now, most of the Catholic scholars would agree that this James who wrote this letter was the relative of the Lord. He was a cousin of the Lord. He was the son of one of those Marys who was at the foot of the cross with our Blessed Mother. And this was a James who stayed behind to head up the church in Jerusalem. And he was martyred in the year 62 AD. So this most likely is the James who wrote this epistle. Most of the scholars believe it was written about the year 60 AD, just about 2 years before James gave his life as a martyr for the Lord. What we read this morning, James says he writes this to the 12 tribes of the diaspora, called the dispersion. That is, those were the Jews living outside of Palestine, living among the Gentiles. The Jews who had left Jerusalem and that were now scattered throughout the known world. What's interesting about this particular letter is that most of the letters of St. Paul have to do with doctrine. This one has to do with moral living and living the faith. So James, you'll see in these chapters that we'll be reading over the next couple weeks, gives lots of exhortations, lots of warnings, how to cope with difficulties and temptations, and how to avoid things such as gossip and backbiting. He talks about being detached from material things, the importance of being concerned for the needs of the poor, the importance of prayer and fraternal correction. Now, the reason why Martin Luther called this an epistle of straw, why he wanted to get rid of it, in fact, he wanted to get rid of a number of the books from the New Testament, Book of Revelation, Letter of James, a few other as well, was because it is very Catholic in its theology, especially in chapter 5, the anointing of the sick. James writes, "Is anyone sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church, sometimes called the priests of the church. Let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person. The Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, his sins will be forgiven them." So this is the most explicit mention of the anointing of the sick in the entire New Testament. And what we see here are all the elements of a sacrament. You have the sensible sign with the remote matter, namely the holy oil. You have the proximate matter, the anointing. You have the form, the prayer over the person. You have the minister, when they call for the priest, for someone to be anointed. And then you have the subject, the sick person. And you have the effects of that, healing of body and soul, and the forgiveness of sins. The last thing we should mention about this letter of James, again, why Luther wanted to get rid of it, was because it's so clear that we are saved by faith and works. Now, when James is referring to works, He's not referring to the works of the law that St. Paul condemned. He's referring to living out our faith in love, living out our faith in charity. Always make that distinction, because our friends of other faiths say that you're saved by faith alone. Even though nowhere in the Bible does it say we're saved by faith alone. It says we're saved by faith, but we're saved by more than faith as well. We're saved by the grace of God that works in our life through faith, hope, and love. As you know, 1 Corinthians says, if you had faith to move mountains, but have not love, we are nothing. There is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest is love. So, again, we're not saved by faith alone. The Bible says even the devil has faith. The devil believes that there's a God, but he's not saved. He has no charity. So, this is very important. So, again, always remember, when St. James is talking about works, he's talking about following the commandments, taking care of the poor, being generous to others, loving God and neighbor. When Paul talks about works, he's talking about the works of the old law, the circumcision, things like ceremonial hand washings and other dietary restrictions. Those are the works of the law. So, as we begin over the next couple weeks to go through James, look for those themes. And it is such a wonderful epistle, and it really does help to affirm our Catholic faith.